If it feels like no one understands your problems or cares to listen, if it feels like there is no one else in this world who has gone through what you have, if you feel like you're so close to giving up but still holding on, Cafe with Monica was made for you. I'll show you how to deal with the everyday and not so everyday situations that surface in the lives of millennials. By sharing my experiences and knowledge, I hope to inform, inspire, and provide solutions to problems that may seem out of reach. So grab your coffee or drink of choice and let's just talk about it. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I have Kelsey here with me today. I just want to tell you a little bit about Kelsey and the reason why I asked her to be on this podcast. You know that my whole premise in this podcast is to bring up topics that people don't really like talking about. But before, I want you to know who a little bit about Kelsey and then tell you what we're going to talk about. So Kelsey is a certified yoga teacher. She enjoys dancing. She's a dancer and she's an avid traveler. Some of these things she hasn't been able to do because of certain circumstances in her life. One of those is that she was diagnosed with Lyme disease, and there's other things that she's been diagnosed about. So she's going to talk a little bit about that. So Kelsey, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. That was a great intro.
Thank you. And I didn't mention, but you do have a blog too called The Intuitive Swan, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes. So congrats on that. But so I really wanted to talk about chronic illness because I think it's such a taboo topic. Like, I don't think a lot of people are open enough to talk about it because, again, it's their life. So first things first is, what was the first thing you noticed when something was wrong?
So I have had health issues on and off since 2011. I started having seizures and just randomly passing out. Mm-hmm. And the first couple times this happened, I thought it was a fluke, but they continued to happen. So I eventually ended up at the Mayo Clinic, where I was diagnosed with vasovagal syncope with asystolic pauses. So my heart would also stop for a period of like 18 to 40 seconds. So that was disturbing. But with syncope, basically your vagus nerve can't properly regulate your heart rate and your blood pressure. So some people, when they stand up, their heart rate drops. And in my case, I stand up, my heart rate drops, and my heart sometimes stops. And so there are some lifestyle adjustments you can do to make this a little bit better. And that those never really seemed to work for me. So it was just kind of something I had to live with. Mm-hmm. And I would go through phases where I'd be completely fine, and then periods where I would be passing out like once or twice a week, having a seizure like once or twice a month. It just really varied, and it was really, really frustrating because I could never find like a common thread or a trigger behind all of that. Mm-hmm. And like, I searched for years, and to this day, I'm still like, it is what it is. You just have to learn to live with it. So I was 2 years, I went 2 years without having any issues. And then October 2017, I had a really rough patch. I was traveling, I was out in California for work. I woke up, I passed out in my bed. I woke up and I didn't know how long I'd been passed out. And then I had two seizures within the next few hours, and I was just super out of it. Mm-hmm. And so I made it home, and I was like, okay, this isn't completely unheard of, but, you know, the recovery time is probably going to take a little bit longer than usual. So, you know, I was sick for a few weeks. I was just really fatigued and nauseous. Like, I could not think clearly. And since my heart had stopped for a really long time, I decided to have a pacemaker put in. And I had taken a little leave of absence from work to take care of this. And I thought the pacemaker would kind of help, but it didn't. So at that point, I was still really tired and nauseous. And I had brain fog and just chronic fatigue, like night sweats. I wasn't sleeping well. So just like all this weird stuff. And I was like, you know what? I think there's something else going on. So I kept seeing new doctors, and I finally went to see a DO who was like, I think you have Lyme disease. And I did not believe her, but I was like, all right, sure, we can do the test. And it turns out I did have late stage Lyme disease.
And what does DO stand for some of the listeners who might not know?
Sure, Doctor of Osteopathy.
Okay. So So it sounds like it was a lot of not knowing what was going on and then just trying different tests. I mean, I was reading your summary, and it looks like it was just a bunch of tests. How scary was it to just not know or put a name to what was going on?
It's like something is wrong with your body, like in your heart. And it's like that fine line between knowing that like something's wrong and you want to receive a diagnosis to like justify you feeling and knowing that it's this way. But on the opposite hand, like, oh, you get these tests done and like, oh, they're negative, like you're fine, nothing's wrong with you. It's like, okay, well, like that's good too. So it's just, it's a lot to handle.
Right. Yeah, and I'm sure it was. Did you have any support, while you were going through this whole thing, while you were trying to reach a diagnosis?
Yeah, my parents have always been super supportive, and they have never given up. They've been always been right there beside me, being like, we should go see another doctor. Like, let's keep fighting. Like, if you think something's wrong, we kind of do too. Like, just because one doctor doesn't know everything, like they don't have an answer for you and they think it's this, but it doesn't feel right. You have to keep searching. You kind of just have to be your own advocate because, like, I know my body better than anyone else, and you can't ever let anyone convince you that your problems are all in your head or that nothing's wrong with you because you know in your heart that there is.
Exactly. You're the one experiencing it. And so kind of tell us a little bit about what is Lyme disease, because not a lot of the people listening to this might know. I know some people are gonna have to Google it. So
Right.
just tell me that.
Yeah. Okay. So part of the reason I started my blog was because before I was diagnosed, I did not know what Lyme disease was. And now, like, even if you don't have it or you don't know anyone who has it, you should know what it is because it is the fastest growing infectious disease in the United States. And it is a bacterial infection that you can contract from ticks, but you can also get it from mosquitoes and flies. And not many people know that. So, but basically causes all these really vague symptoms like fatigue, joint or muscle pain, headaches, irregular heart rate, short-term memory problems. So it's often misdiagnosed as chronic fatigue syndrome, MS, fibromyalgia. So it's really, really hard to get an accurate diagnosis, and the blood work, the testing for Lyme disease is notoriously inaccurate. So that's also part of the reason why you just have to really study up on Lyme disease, understand it, and like if you're not getting the answer you want from a doctor, you sometimes just need to like self-diagnose based on symptoms or find a doctor who is willing to think outside the box and believes that yes, Lyme disease does exist, because you would be surprised by how many professionals and doctors don't think it's a real issue.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Did you, like, during the initial reactions to your diagnosis, what were your initial reactions to the diagnosis, if you had any, or if you could describe it in one word?
Denial. Yeah, I'm pretty headstrong, and she's like, you have Lyme disease. And I'm like, okay, that's great. But I really think I just need to stop having seizures and passing out and getting lightheaded. Let me deal with that first, finish that up, and then I can like move on and focus on this Lyme disease diagnosis. And she's like, no, I think you should do something now. And I was like, nope, I need to go back to work. And I naively and optimistically did go back to work. And within a couple weeks, it was very clear that I had made a mistake in not listening to my body. So then I kind of reeled it back in and was like, okay, I'm going to take the time to focus. My entire job now will be to heal.
Yeah, and that's so, taking the time to heal, how does that look like for you? Because, you still have to, you still have to live, or and go to work and do all that. So how does that look like for you healing when you have to work, you have this pressure? Like, what is it? How do you deal with it?
So a big part of healing for me was letting go of my ego and letting go and admitting that I needed to take an extended medical leave from my job at in the consulting world. And, you know, this was the third time in my 20s where I was being forced to take a step back, take a time out and like focus on my health again. And it was just always like right before I was really starting to take off, I was doing well at my job. Like I had a vision for my future and I was very set. And you know, it just like knocks you off your feet and you're like, nope, you have to deal with what is happening right in this moment and you will persevere. But, you know, I was crushed at the time, but today, so I'm still on a medical leave and disability from work. So my full-time job is healing. And, you know, there are a lot of different approaches to healing Lyme disease. And I've taken more of a natural one with herbal supplements and kind of like heroic treatments like infrared sauna sessions or hyperbaric oxygen chambers. So I knew in my heart that an intensive course of like antibiotics was not for me. And to this day, I don't believe there's actually a study out there proving the merits of 3 months of antibiotics in healing Lyme disease, at least not in late-stage Lyme disease. So, you know, sometimes you're like, oh my God, I need to be doing something else. But, you know, I learned to listen to my body and take it day by day because I could barely be able to get out of bed one day. And then the next day I could, like, do a little yoga or, like, go for a walk. And so you just like, it's so unpredictable and you just have to like let go of your ego of like thinking you know what's going to happen next and just be patient.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm actually a vocational rehabilitation counselor. So I work with people with various of disabilities, medical, you know, chronic, mental health, and I help them go back to work. And a lot of them, you know, the most recent people that I've gotten are, you know, lupus, or MS. Those are kind of like the people that I typically see. I haven't seen anybody with the diagnosis of Lyme disease, but it does change their impact. A lot of what we talk about is what can you do versus what can't you do. And during the initial sessions, we talk about what can't you do. And for them, it's like, oh, Monica, you're wanting to know what I can't do. And it's like, yes, because I want to make sure that when I help you find a job that fits you, it's going to be something that you can do and it empowers you, not focusing on your limitations. And a lot of them also have to be on SSI or SSDI, Social Security benefits. And they're like, but I want to get off of these benefits. And I tell them, sometimes it's okay. You know, you've worked all your, like some of them have worked or, you know, haven't worked. It's like, it's okay. You know, this is a benefit to you and you can work part-time if you want. You can work freelance. You could still keep your benefits while pursuing employment in a way that you can do for yourself. Because work in our society, like work is so important. You know, a lot of people are like, if you're not working, you're a bum or whatever. But no, I mean, sometimes
you just I'm so glad you say that.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to work on yourself. Sometimes I've had to tell clients when they come and they want to go to work and I say, hey, you know what? I think what's best right now is for you to take care of your health. I know you want to go and and go back to work, but sometimes we have to say no to things and lean on to the support that we can, the benefits that we have. I had a client, the one that had lupus, she did not want to file for disability. And I said, you have to, because she was having so many flare-ups, chronic fatigue. I mean, it was really bad. And I said, I can't find anything out there for you to work because the whole stress of you finding a job that fits you is causing more stress in your body and you're not, and you're not being
poor woman.
Yeah. But you know, with all that being said, I think that I can go to my next question, which is, how has this impacted you on your daily life? You mentioned some days are good, some days you can go do yoga. So how has it impacted on your daily life?
Just taking it day by day. And, you know, everyone is, like you said, so obsessed with being busy and their job and their title and just making, like, being out there but being seen for kind of the wrong reasons. And I feel like since, yes, I've been on disability for the past year, which is really changed me a lot, and I realized that more so in the past month or two. And, you know, in the beginning it's hard, but now I'm really trying to enjoy these moments and these days of just being still and resting, because I don't think people do that enough. And just like, even like yoga and meditation, or just like taking a few moments to like set your phone down and just like be still and silent and not have distractions in front of us. You know, I'm kind of trying to embody that on a daily basis and enjoy it while it lasts. And I will go back to work, hopefully sooner than later, but I'm hope I can still embody those, everything I've learned during this healing process throughout the rest of my life.
Yeah, because I think, yeah, we're so go, go, go. We're so constantly connected through our phones and through everything. It's hard. I mean, even I struggle sometimes disconnecting, and I have to be mindful and be intentional with my time. And I set those like limits on myself, boundaries, so that, you know, I can rest, because sometimes I know my body needs rest and I don't listen to it. And that's horrible when you don't listen to your own body.
I know, and no one else can tell you to do it. Like that woman you were talking
yeah.
about, you can see so clearly what she needs to do, but until she realizes it herself, nothing is going to change.
Exactly, exactly. It's something that you need to be okay with to do for yourself. But, you know, I always try to be as encouraging and as empathetic as I can.
Absolutely.
You know, through this, even though I don't know, I never say I can't imagine what you're going through, because no, I can't imagine it. It's not going to help you, me saying that. I just say, well, you know, this is what I can do for you. This is what I believe to be helpful. And you let me know if you reciprocate that type of help, if that's what's helpful to you. This time of healing, is this when you came up with the idea behind your blog?
You know, I have a background of a writer. I love writing, and my mom kept telling me I should really start a blog, and I was like, no, oh my God, whatever. And then I finally reached a point where I was like, you know what, I'm kind of lonely. I'd like to share my story because I think it's interesting, and you know, I received different diagnoses, and you know, people, I would like to remind them not to give up if they haven't received the diagnosis that feels right to them. So I went for it back in November 2018, and I'm so glad I did, because it has been so rewarding. And at the beginning I was worried about what other people would think, you know, my friends, colleagues, like strangers, but, you know, being vulnerable, especially on the internet, is hard. Like, you open yourself up to a lot of, the potential for a lot of negativity, but, unfortunately I haven't received any of that yet, but, people have said that I'm so glad you're sharing, because like, I have a friend who has this chronic illness or something, and I was never really knew what they were going through, but reading some of your content makes me understand their journey a little bit more. And I think that's just having one person tell me that, then it's totally worth it. That's all I need.
Exactly, exactly. Because I feel like vulnerability opens up for people to reach out to you more, because they feel like you're a human, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And with social media being so, you know, curated sometimes, and, you know, not so real. And then, yeah, putting yourself out there also means that you're pretty much an open target for other people's opinions and other people's opinions of your life and what they think to be true. And it's sometimes they don't have, you know, it doesn't show the full picture. So I love that you said that you so far have not gotten any negative comments or anything like that, that you've just gotten positivity, and that there was a need for your voice to be out there and to talk a little bit more about what you're going through. Because some other people are going through the same thing.
Right, right. We're all here for one another. And it's incredible. Like, yes, I love phone calls and like face-to-face interactions, but you know, through Instagram, I've met so many other really incredible people who also suffer and live with chronic illnesses, and just it's been great to make some new friends and connect with others who know exactly what you're going through.
Yeah. And since we're talking about friendships and all that, so when you were initially diagnosed, and you knew, you know, all these things were happening, how did your friends react to that? Did you lose friends?
No. I mean, my close friends have always been there for me. I mean, I've had health issues for almost the past decade, so they're used to hearing things on and off. But, you know, I do think sometimes people worry that because they can't, they don't know what you're going through, they kind of pull back a little bit. And I would just say that, like, if you know anyone who's going through, you know, like a mental or a physical health scare or period an issue, like, all you have to do is, like, even just sending them a text saying, like, hey, I'm thinking of you, like, I'm sending you love and healing energy, and, like, I'm here for you. Like, that's all you have to do, and that makes such a difference. Because just even though when you don't have the energy to go out and see people and socialize as much as you do, just receiving those thoughts and those little texts really brighten your day.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question of, like, when you're having a flare, you know, what can other people do to make your day a little bit easier?
Oh, my God. The only person I tell that I'm having an immediate flare is, like, my mom. Because I can, like, I'm too sick and I don't have the energy to tell anyone else.
Right,
so,
and that's totally fine. That's your you got to keep your space to yourself. And right. Whoever you feel that's your go-to person, if that's your mom, then that's great. So when you're having a bad day, and this could be, you know, whatever you consider a bad day to be, but are there things that you would want people, friends, strangers, whoever, to avoid saying that might be hurtful or disrespectful without knowing? I think because sometimes we just, you know, sometimes you catch yourself saying something that isn't right or appropriate, and sometimes we just need to know what is it that you don't want to hear.
Someone once referred to my health issues as, like, my flaws, that it's incredible that so many people have loved me despite my flaws. And that really hurt because I don't, you know, in the past, yes, I saw my health as these issues, as these things that were, like, bringing me down, stopping me from, like, being the person I wanted to be. But now, you know, I'm allowing this part of me in my life to really empower me. Mm-hmm. And I think I have come so far from there. And it's really, like, I know who I am and I love who I am. And, you know, what I can and cannot do has changed a little bit, sure. But, you know, I'm always going to make the best of it. And this is who I am. And I am embracing that. I'm no longer fighting it.
That is amazing. I love that. And I love that you shared that because I don't know what that person was thinking for saying that, you know, that was a flaw. Because, I mean, even having the initial diagnosis, you feel like, you know, something is wrong, like you're broken or you know, like, why me? All those feelings. And these are just things that I've heard from other other people.
Sure.
But knowing that this is not a flaw. You didn't put this upon yourself. I think a lot of people think that, I'm glad that you mentioned how people can get Lyme disease and how people like get misdiagnosed, because a lot of people always think, like, chronic illness, oh, you must be unhealthy. You must have done this.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. I'm, like, the healthiest person you know. Like, seriously.
So, yeah, but I just think there's those misconceptions.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I spent my summers growing up in Wisconsin. So, and Wisconsin is the has the fourth highest number of Lyme diagnoses in the states. So that's just something to be aware of too. And I want to say, like, only 30% of people who get bit by a tick actually exhibit the classic bullseye rash. So, you know, just because you don't have the rash doesn't mean that tick isn't infected. So you just have to, if you do get bit by a tick, like, try and take it off you, save it, and then, like, take it to a doctor for testing, and no regrets. It's better to be safe than sorry.
I love that. I didn't know that. So I love that you said that. And to your knowledge, are there any cures available?
Such a mixed bag.
Such a loaded question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's different for everyone, and that's why Lyme disease is so hard because people react differently to each different type of treatment. So what works for me is not necessarily going to work for the next person who comes along. But and I really think, again, that's like listening to your body and understanding what type of treatment you can and cannot handle and what feels right to you. Even though, like, a natural, like, diet, lifestyle, supplements, sweating it out, like the really holistic side, like you can't go wrong with that. And there are more intense methods out there too, but everyone's to each their own when they make those decisions.
Right. As a friend, as any person out there who's listening to this podcast, is there any way that they can help advocate for you? Or someone with the same diagnosis?
I mean, Global Lyme Alliance is the leading nonprofit doing research on Lyme disease, and they're doing a lot of incredible things. And there are fundraisers around the country, especially now because May is Lyme Disease Awareness Month. So if anyone ever wanted to donate money to GLA, Global Lyme Alliance, that would be absolutely incredible because the CDC does not allocate hardly any money for research and funding for Lyme disease, which is truly an epidemic, and we need to find the money so we can do the research to figure out to help people before this gets even worse.
So my last question for you is, it's something that I ask of everybody in my podcast, is what is a topic that you wish people would talk about that isn't talked about? And this could be honestly chronic illness if you want that, but what would it be?
I don't know. Lately, okay, I guess lately I have been trying to be open. No, let me restart. Okay, lately I've been doing more meditation, and these things keep coming across my path that are reminding me to try and be more like conscious of my subconscious thoughts. Because so I'm really becoming a big believer in writing down like what I want to create and like picturing it, envisioning it, like manifesting it,
Oh,
because
yes, I love that.
like the type of I want to project the type of energy that I would like to receive from the universe. So just like small changes like that. And I think it's more of just like a change in perspective. So, I used to kind of have this negative mentality, and now it's like I'm just trying to put the future that I would like out there and writing it down and writing down like my goals and like what I want and my desires and my feelings and trying to understand the feelings like behind the things that I want has been really helpful in trying to kind of realign my purpose, if that makes
Oh
sense.
yeah, definitely. And I did reach out to this girl. She's like a manifesting coach.
Oh,
And I loved
cool.
it. I saw her at an event and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to have her. Because I do feel if you have an abundance mentality, then you are going to receive that abundance. And if you manifest something, it's going to happen. I've seen it happen for me. So I want people to learn that.
I love that.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. Hopefully, I've reached out, emailed. I will continue to reach out and email and let her know that I really want her in the podcast.
Well, I hope she comes on
Yes.
because I'd love to listen to that too.
Yes. And okay, so Kelsey, where can people find you if they wanted to reach out, had more questions, or just support your blog? Where can we find you?
Cool. TheIntuitiveSwan.com, and then my Instagram handle is the same thing, The Intuitive Swan. So yeah, feel free to reach out. I love connecting with others, and even though I don't have the answers, like I am happy to listen.
Awesome. 100%. I love that. And thank you so much for being on this podcast.
Absolutely. It was really fun. You're awesome.
Thanks for listening to Cafe with Monica. This was made for you. So be sure to visit cafewithmonica.com to access the show notes where I write tips and additional resources for this episode in a location convenient for you. And if you love this episode and found value and can't wait to hear more, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It would mean the world to me. I can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. So see you guys next time.